Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 2 and 3 of The Dragon Reborn, Sidheen, and News from the Plain. Enjoy!
All right, welcome to season 3, episode 2. Moving into further into the Dragon Reborn, even though nothing's really happening yet because we're still in the mountains. I don't know about you guys, but when I first read the Dragon Reborn, we'll talk about it. How you felt about these first couple chapters, but we'll talk about it as we get through. But sometimes I would just wish we'd get out of the mountains after a while.
Yeah.
Ready to move on, but I think the party's ready to move on as well, but we'll talk about that. So before we get into that, we do have two new patrons, so I have to give a big shout out to Kylie. She's one of our new patrons, and then Ryan from the Way of the Leaf joined us.
Welcome, guys.
Big shout out to Way of the Leaf. Thank you again for letting us use your Bella soundbite. I spliced into our last episode that was released. Was released today. So, got some more Bella screaming techno music.
That is so fantastic. That was perfectly done.
I will continue to splice them into episodes. Very excited about having those two patrons with us. Hopefully we get more to come. So. With that, you know, patron, I talk about this at the end of the episode all the time, but it does go to good stuff. It helps us do giveaways, to improve equipment. I just ordered a new computer, pricing out microphone setups for all of us. We'll be getting those in the next few months, just working on pricing and things like that, trying to get the best price and the best stuff for the best price. So
it does. Wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. But that's really what it's going towards now. There are also some admin costs to doing a podcast now. We're switching over to a service that's going to pay a subscription for. Our Discord has to, we pay towards that. There's also for a bot. I pay for a website. Yeah, lots of stuff. As far as everything else goes, no big major milestones yet. Anything else? We almost have 300 likes on Facebook, so I guess that would be a milestone. Like I said, I started to try to up that. We're at 291.
Oh, yeah.
We're 28,000, over 28,000 downloads. So, you know, we hit 25 a few weeks ago. We're at 28. So moving right along there. That's about it for right now. Not much else going on as far as housekeeping goes. As far as personal life goes, this has been like kind of the week from hell for me just because because it's work's really, really busy right now. Plus, I got a lot of personal stuff going on with coming up this weekend. And then this week, we have my wife has a bunch of appointments. So, today she had a job interview. So, I had to go to work late so I could watch the kids while she did that. And then on Thursday, she has a follow-up interview. And then on Friday, my son has his first dentist appointment. So... and then plus I have a ton of stuff to do at work. So it's just, yeah. Just a lot of stuff. And then this weekend, my brother's coming to town. My brother's a doctor, because my dad's having, it's not like a retirement party, but something like that. So, we're doing that Saturday night. It's a small group of family and some of his coworkers, and they're doing a small thing and they were doing brunch and stuff on Sunday morning. So, it'd be fun to see my brother. I haven't seen him I think since last Christmas, just cause.
Oh, wow.
Well, cause COVID happened and he's a doctor. So he's in the hospitals all the time. So he has to really, it's a pain. So he has to really schedule time around things to do it properly. And yeah, it makes it tough. Yeah, so, And my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, is also in medicine as well. She's a surgical assistant. So, yeah. So they both have these the stars have to align, and they're aligning this weekend, so I actually get to see my brother, so it'd be fun.
That's cool.
Tell him I said hi.
Yeah, we'll do. And he's actually read Wheel of Time, so
very cool.
Yeah. How about you guys?
Let's see. So work is going pretty fantastic. We're a few weeks into the new job. You know, normally, especially coming to a new agency and working for the government, you get like technically like 90 days. It's like your in processing time and blah, blah, blah. And usually they start you off slow, but I've really landed in you talked about the stars aligning with your brother. Like I'll use the same phrase, the stars have aligned. Like the last three positions I've had working in facilities management and building management for the government, there's been aspects of it that I really loved and then parts of it that I really hated. And this job at this location with the people I'm working with and how this agency is set up, it's like I have all of the good. So every bit of my job so far, you know, knock on wood, don't let me jinx it, is everything about this industry that I love. So I've just, you know, jumped in both feet first. I'm read up on all the contracts for all the, you know, ongoing construction and everything. And I've already talked to those contracting officers and they're already at the point of trusting me to speak up in meetings and, you know, correcting inconsistencies with the contractors and all that jazz. So it might sound boring, but to me, it's like super exciting. So I'm thrilled. I'm loving it. And I've been pretty consistent on my gym routine and it's starting to show. Pretty excited about that. Got to stick to it. And hanging out with the kiddos this weekend for the first time at my new apartment. So I'm also pretty stoked about that.
Yeah. Cool.
That is a lot of positive. I like it. I love it.
I've been loving mood lately. It's just, it's good.
I won't taint it. It's been a normal week for
so a million meetings and busy.
Yes, a million meetings, very busy. Shit not quite going the way I want it to, and working through it. The biggest light in my life is the fact that I'm headed to Raleigh this weekend to meet Chanel's sister Brittany, her middle sister. That'll be the last important family member that I need to meet because I've kind of met everybody else. So, yeah, that'd be really cool. Yeah. And then we'll get
any update on the housing situation?
he's like, Alan, that's
the this is where I cut my mic off.
You'll get there. Got it.
Just remember, Chris, I have actually lived in a van down by the river. For months, yeah. and somehow turned out just fine. So,
yeah. There's a lot of me that wants to sleep in my car for a few.
Yeah,
it wasn't as bad as I thought, man.
Yeah,
and it was weird, like realizing how many other people did it. Oh. There were a lot of people. There was a group of us in the Walmart parking lot every night. We'd give the head nod, give us up. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to move and do something different. I meant to do this last episode, but also excited to start the book that I forgot to do a lot of things that we normally do when we start a new book. So one thing that I wanted to do was just to talk rather than recap predictions and things like that. What do you guys think is going to happen in this book? Put you guys on the spot. Like what do you guys think is going to happen?
You ask us a dumb question like that. The world's going to end and then come back and then end again and then come back. Like, doesn't that happen at least once? Where it, like,
world is going to end. Okay.
What's the title of this book again?
Something I've been.
The Dragon Reborn.
I actually had a look at it. Feels like, which one are we on?
Book three.
I've been thinking about how we've been teased with the ages coming and going, how, like, you know, stories sort of shift over time. And then we also have like Rand or Luz Theron that, you know, for whatever reason has lost his memories of what has happened in the past and blah, 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 blah. And then you have, I listened to it again tonight, Rand reciting what Tom told him about, you know, the two marks of the Heron and about forgetting and blah, blah. So maybe part of it is not just him accepting that he is the dragon. Maybe by the end of this book, we have some opportunity where he gets those memories back.
Okay.
Of like all the turnings of the wheel, something like that. I don't know. I think that'd be cool, you know, because that would totally like shift gears on our character of Rand or whatever he's going to call himself at that point, you know, that'd be wild.
Okay. Interesting. Profound. Chris, anything?
Man, you know, the title, The Dragon Reborn, makes me really feel like he does gain a greater sense of who he's been in the past, not just Luce Theron, but like all of his past lives. And they kind of begin to structure and shape the journey for Rand. What that journey is, though, I'm just like, you know, after reading a few chapters in, it's like, I really don't know where he's going to go with it. Even before I started reading.
So you guys both think that this book's really going to be just about Rand a lot?
Well, so, all right, so back up. That might, what I'm guessing, might only happen at the very end. Okay. But then you got to think, like, what would trigger that in Rand? So what motivates him right now? His biggest motivation has been trying to take care of not everybody, but just those closest to him, the people that came with him from Edmund's Field. And we've always joked about this, and it hasn't really happened, but he is a friend of Martin. So maybe this is the book where one of our main characters either dies a gruesome death or gets, you know, pulled to, I know I'm saying it wrong, but pulled to the dark side. And something like crazy happens that triggers Rand to be like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm just going to channel the fuck out of you and go full dragon.
Go full dragon.
Okay. Yeah. So it might be something else, some other big story that like culminates to that. But I don't know.
There's a lot of, I mean, the thing is like when he ends his book, there's like moments of finality and then a moment of just like a whole bunch of questions. So, like, what's Matt's story going to look like? What's Perrin's story going to look like? We have, like, what, 9 more books to go? So how many more point of views is he going to bring about? Like, maybe we get new characters. Yeah, no, but I'm saying, sure. Like, maybe we get a whole new set of main characters that we're going to follow for another book or two, and then their worlds merge. Like, maybe we're going to go switch to the dark side, and we bring about some of the Forsaken or whatever, Forsworn, whatever the name is. I can't think of the name right now, but maybe there's too many questions. I don't want to start even guessing. I guess if I were to say anything, it would just be that we're already seeing Perrin develop. Like, we're seeing a lot from Perrin's point of view. So I'm hoping it's a book, if I'm giving my hope, a book on Perrin's development.
Okay.
And then maybe start introducing what's going on with Matt all the way across the world or wherever he's at, you know, and maybe seeing the development of Matt and maybe his coming into himself. Cause we know that they're all Taverians. We've got a lot of building around Rand already, but we haven't had as much around Matt or Perrin. So.
Okay.
Oh, and then just, man. So scary part about that, what you're suggesting is it's possible. Let's say we're focusing on Rand and Perrin and some new characters. What if we go this whole book and don't hear anything else about Matt? And that's just like a whole nother book. Wouldn't that be sucky?
I could see it happening.
I mean, yeah.
Well,
he doesn't leave us much. Like, I'll say it like this, like he leaves us in a spot where he could end the novel. He could have ended the novel in the last book and we could have just assumed a bunch of stuff and never picked up another book and been just as happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's going to reel us back in. It's happening. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. So the other thing we did not do last week that we should have done, because I just was, like I said, excited, and we didn't judge the book by its cover. So I sent you guys a picture of the original cover art for The Dragon Reborn, where you have Rand, looking off
the purest form. I know, but he's shaped it into the shape of a sword.
Why wasn't the sword a blob? Or like halfway melted or something like that?
It's an energy sword. What's going on here?
Oh, it's a it's say it. It's a lightsaber. Come on, let's not dance around it.
It's a lightsaber.
He almost looks like he's in knight armor too.
Totally unrelated, but I just got caught up on The Boys, and when they were testing the serum on the adults, and there's the guy that could like grow his dick out like 20 feet. And
spoiler alert, to choke out time, I haven't dude. Watched it yet. Now I'm gonna go watch an episode. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. The voice.
I didn't see that coming. That shit was hilarious.
Yes, that's
the trouble is you don't see him do it. It just like bursts through a window and starts choking a guy. I would have like, did he do a Care Bear stare and he just goes raw and like flings his hips forward? Like, how do you activate the monster dick? I don't. Clearly, I don't know how to activate
a male succubus. Let's just call him that.
If you guys haven't seen The Boys on Amazon, go check it out. It's a fun show.
Will we get paid for that?
Yeah.
Dang, sure. Oh, yeah. My bank account just grew.
That's we're now sponsored by
them boys.
Yeah, right.
I enjoyed the show. Not everybody likes it. I thought it was great, but that's just me personally. Personally.
Well, that's how my mind works. He says, I forgot what you initially said. I was like, nope, just call it a lightsaber. And then I thought fleshlight. And then I was like, oh, yeah, The Boys. And like, whip people in the face with a schlong. That's,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Back to the book. Yep.
So, yeah. So, also on the cover of the book, you get the, I think it's Perrin down there in the corner. Well, looking like a ninja. He has this like little headband Hungarian thing going on.
Like, is that the right one? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely looks Hungarian. Hung. Hey.
What is the where are they at? There's cool columns.
Yeah, that's like, a good question.
Kind of reminds me of seeing you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like these red columns. They're red. They, yeah.
That's. I'm not even going to speculate. I have no idea where they're at.
Well, we might find out. Maybe.
No, we won't. This is just to throw us completely off the set. They're in Beelzebub's castle in the other world. Maybe that's what happens. Yeah. Maybe we travel to another land. Maybe we go to the home of the of another group. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah,
Shan-Chan. The Shan-Chan.
Is that Matt over Perrin's?
That almost looks like a female.
That little... I think it's Matt. It's like right in the corner. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
we'll call it Matt. Sure.
Yeah, whatever. Sure.
Indubitably.
Sure. Profound. So, anyways, let's go ahead and move right into chapter two. So chapter two is Sidene, and the icon is the dragon's fang. So Sidene's the male half of the power. Of course, we get a lot of that here. A lot of talk about it. So, well, towards the end.
Yeah. So, but that's what I was expecting. But that's what's confusing after I read it a couple times. I have no idea what Jordan was getting at here. Like, what? There was no channeling. Nothing significant happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely right. It was just such boring.
That's right. Hit you with the early 90s, say the opposite, and then drop a knot. Take that. And I open butthead. You guys are good for a wild night.
Exactly. All right. So we start this chapter with the Tinker looking over the camp. She's surprised at Ogier, that Loyal's there. But then Perrin kind of just motions her and says, yeah, Moraine's over there, that tent over there. Go ahead that way. And Tinker leaves.
He tried to offer her
Layla,
to
Leia,
first.
Leia.
He was kind.
Yeah, he was. And she leaves, and then Perrin starts getting all these questions from all the soldiers around, you know, wondering when they'll leave. And Perrin's wanted the same thing. He says, you know, we've been here forever. I want to know when we're leaving too. Everyone wants to leave. It's like, you know, we've been sitting here all winter long, hiding in the mountains. And then Perrin sees Min. So before we get to that whole interaction, anything on this opening scene, you guys? Anything stuck out to you guys? Or
I'm starting to appreciate what Jordan does to us as the reader a little bit more. as I go along. You mentioned earlier, Alan, how like, gosh, I remember when I started reading this, I was like, can we just go ahead and leave? But when you think about it, that's exactly, like you said, what our characters are thinking. And he has this way of getting you to feel what they're feeling. Like you, it's not as exciting. You know, I like the fight scenes. I like this. Oh, someone's channeling lightning bolt, fire from their arse. But, you know, even these moments of their frustration and angst and everything, like I'm reading it and I'm feeling it, you know, so that's kind of cool. I don't know. Yeah. I'd assume it's intentional.
It is.
But if not, he got lucky. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. Like I always enjoy the imagery that's painted, but there is that moment where it's like, why are we three chapters in and still in the camp or near the camp? Like, why can't we move forward? Like he goes into the detail about the stew and about how Perrin is hungry and focusing on that because he doesn't want to focus on what's in his mind. It's like, even in that opening, we do get a lot of Perrin, which is something I didn't want to necessarily breeze over, but we get a lot of his insight. We see a lot of his internal struggles, which is a constant thing that we see of him fighting against his desire to touch the wolves and not wanting to focus on the fact that his nose is going a million miles a minute smelling the food, and his ears are going left and right, and he's noticing all of these things.
And so as we're talking about it, I'm thinking about this. So throughout this chapter, we find out that Rand is not really engaging with all of his new followers, right? He'll talk to Perrin. He's talking to Moraine. He's off to himself. He's ashamed. He's not really engaging. And Moraine's not really talking to everybody else too much. So all these Shannarans, who are they looking to as a leader? They're looking to Perrin. They're asking him the questions. They're trying to find out, hey, what about this? Are we doing this? What did you hear? Da, 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 da. Is anything different? So that might come into play. You know, maybe we get different factions going on here, or people that become more loyal to Perrin, or maybe just helps him rise to, you know, think more of himself, kind of like what happened with Rand in the last book.
Right. And then Perrin sees Min, and Min comes in by one of the fires, I guess, and she immediately goes into what she saw when she saw the Tinker Woman. It's like, yeah, she's gonna die, and she starts going to her ability more, you know, about how it works and a little bit more about her vision. Goes through what she saw, that, you know, saw her with her head split open and blood is everywhere, and she knows she's gonna die. And Perrin's like, well, is there gonna be attack? If there's gonna be attack, like, when's it gonna be? You know, ask all these questions, and she's like, that's not how it works. Like.
Yeah, that exchange was pretty interesting because, you know, Min is very eerily calm in her statement, but it's because in her mind it's definitive, it's de facto, like it's going to happen. So she just says matter-of-factly, like she's going to die. And it is Perrin who's like internalizing this issue and trying to make it his own, which of course a lot of guys like Perrin do. And then, of course, he goes from the, like, oh, she's going to die, we need to protect her, to what can we do to protect the camp? So he really is becoming a leader, whether he wants to or not, or taking on these responsibilities.
Yeah.
You know, if Rand's right. going to be in charge, then Perrin's, like, second in command, whether he wants to be or not.
Yeah. And Perrin even, I think the first instinct was, how do you save her? And Min's like, it doesn't work that way. And she talks about when she was younger. You know, she tried to change things and everything never worked. Like, it just doesn't work. If she sees it, it's going to happen. There's nothing you can do. It's already done. And Loyal shows up right as they're talking. It's like, oh, you're talking about Tinkers. What about Tinkers?
Well, this sounds interesting. Let's have a conversation. Yeah.
But before we move into more with Loyal, let's talk about this whole thing with Min. Like, what you guys thought about her ability? Now, I mean, we've seen this before. We've seen her viewings all the way back in Eye of the World. But the way Jordan writes things, he doesn't just explain anything. It just, you over time, you start to get a more understanding of how things work. That's just how he writes. So this is a little more.
Yeah, it was very eye-opening. My mind went totally somewhere else. Like, I can't believe I missed these books as they were coming out. Like, maybe I was getting too into the sports then and less into the reading, but there's so many things that we'll never know if they influenced other writers and other movies, but there's just some cool similarities that, like, you think, like, the person who wrote Minority Report, did he read this and then focus on the main character and go, oh shit, if we got a group of people that can kind of see things about other folks, maybe I could come up with this cool story where we lock people up before they actually commit crimes. Like, how cool would that shit be? Yeah. So anyways, not what you were looking for, Alan, I'm sure, but that's something that crossed my mind here. When she was like, just casually pointing out, oh yeah, that lady dies. And then you're a pretty violent person and, you know, he's pretty peaceful and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. Maybe that did influence it.
I think for me, what really stood out was the, it's never any clearer than that. She shivered, rubbed her hands together. And then he makes the comment, Perrin makes the comment, there was never any doubt about what Min saw and knew, for good or bad. If she was certain, then it happened. Not then. So there's a lot of, like, definition or definitive statements there. And there's a lot that Perrin kind of, I don't want to say he, I don't even say he gives her the benefit of the fact. He benefited the fact, but he essentially sees her words as, like, the Bible. Like, it is a thing. Like, there's never any other way of going about thinking of this except for the very simple fact that she is definite it is going to happen, and when she says it in such a certain specific way, then we know this is just to be the truth. And I feel for Min, because what can she do about it? Nothing. Like, she has to live her life seeing all of these things and knowing what is going to happen with people, and then knowing that she has no way of stopping them from happening.
Yeah, so now we have Loial, and Loial talks to the Tinkers. And yeah, Min tells him what he saw as well. And you also learn that there's, like, this is something else that's in this section where he says, you know, Ogiers have all these old stories about them being these fierce warriors, and Perrin doesn't see it. Like, that's another thing I pointed out as well, is that, you know, they have all these stories about these Ogiers being these fierce warriors, but they seem the most peaceful, kind, very slow, methodical people, like, never would hurt anybody. So I highlighted that and said, what do you guys think about that?
Well, before we go that far, I want to take a step back and just look at the reaction that Min has when she's just like, yeah, I can, there are some people that I can see nothing from, and then others where I can always see something. And she looked at
Yeah.
And she looked at Perrin, and Perrin instantly, do not tell me what you see. Like, I got a good chuckle out of that. He's like, do not tell me what you see. And he snapped at her. And I'm wondering, like, his snapping, is that more influenced now by the fact that he's become more wolf-like? Or is that something that he's always had to deal with? I know it says in the book that he learned quickly how easily it was to hurt people by accident when you're bigger than they are. But, you know, there's a difference in that physical versus that, you know, mental and emotional pain that you cause people. So he instantly was just like, I'm sorry. So sorry I did that to you. And then she's like, well, you didn't hurt me. Blessed few people want to know what I see. So the light knows, I would not if it were someone else who could do it. So Min really dislikes her quote unquote gift herself. She wishes she didn't have it, but she does. And she realizes that what she says can really hurt people. So there's a lot of power in that.
And then we get to learn more about our Ogier friends. So let's fast forward there.
Well, it's kind of funny. I really felt bad when I read this part. It's like Loial's face had frightened more than one person, with his nose broad enough to almost be called a snout and his tooth-wide mouth. His eyes were the size of saucers, with thick eyebrows that dangled like mustaches almost to his cheeks. His ears poked up through long hairs and rough points. Some who had never seen an Ogier took them for Trolloc, though Trollocs were as much legend to most of them as Ogier. That description, like, what is that? There's an old movie, and I can't think of the name right now. Oh, it might be like The Dark Crystal or something like that, where you have those weird looking characters. I see like all these weird looking 70s characters in my mind from some of those old movies. But yeah, he's
Yeah.
hideous, but he's lovable.
It's kind of like it's kind of like looking at a pug. If you look at each individual feature, like their tails curl up like a pig, you can always see their asshole, their noses are all scrunched up, they have like a tooth sticking out, their eyes are cross-eyed and way too big for their fucking head, and their ears are always lopsided. So each little bit you're like, what total fuck up was this? Like, did God sneeze and go, oh shit, well now just leave that one. I already made it. But when you back up a little bit and you get to know them, they're cute, cuddly little dogs. I mean, you can't help but scratch their butt. It's, yeah, but they're hideous. Hideous.
When I first read this, the first thing that popped in my head was Ludo
That's
from
the one.
Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's the
Friend.
one.
There you go. Or how about, hey, you guys. Come in.
Oh, and then we learn about
Yeah. Anyways.
about the pull of the Taviren. I mean, even though Loial's given a bunch of bullshit, it's like you're not here just because of the Taviren. But he wants to put his blame there. Like, I just wanted to see the groves.
I like how he after everything he's told everybody else about Taviren, when it came to him, he tried to pretend like he was in control of what he was doing. He tried to pretend he was making his own decisions because he's wiser than that. So, but I think the looks from Perrin kind of caught him off guard a little bit to make him consider. Like, he probably had a moment where he went, ah, oh, shit, they got me too. Dang it. I didn't see it coming.
They made the
Yeah.
comments that Taviren themselves are
Yeah.
woven into a light line. Excuse me. Taviren themselves are woven to a tighter line than the rest of us. Fewer choices. So, as few choices as they feel like they have, Taviren have even fewer. So, yeah, there's something to that.
And if you're close to Taviren, your choices are limited as well because Taviren's just
Exactly. They
shaping
say
everyone around them.
Ots are Hawkling. You could feel
Yeah.
things being shaped around him whenever you were near him.
Yeah.
Well, so going back to like in the very beginning, when I was talking about what crazy twist might happen, we have Perrin, Ran, and Matt, but now they're away from each other. So we have different Taviren and Matt separated. So it's, I don't know, just with everything he's feeding us, there's the potential that his path is now going to go in a wildly different direction.
So,
Possibly.
when do you think Matt's going to come back? Book.
Matt's going to become a dark friend.
Chapter.
Oh, can I look at all the covers real quick?
No.
I'm sure we'll talk about it here, but I don't know. So with them going different directions now, the more I think about it, like there is room for this story of Matt's journey with the girls and wherever he ends up. There's opportunity for a book or two, you know? I mean, you could just go in crazy directions now. And if you're going to do that, maybe next book, maybe the book after.
Yeah, maybe.
You really could, along with what Chris said, like maybe we follow this new path with Perrin and Rand and get new characters, and we know we have
You know what this
50,000
book
books
has done
more,
for me?
so.
I'm gonna kind of go on a tangent.
Yeah.
It has made me realize how hard
What's
it
it done?
must be to be Martin.
George R. R. Martin?
To be friends with Jordan,
Oh,
who
okay.
accomplished 13 books and finished the story even in his death, have all these different point of views, to have
Yeah. Oh,
all
man.
these different storylines, to have it all completely thought out and figured out. No wonder the fucker hasn't completed the latest book. He's comparing himself to Jordan. He's like, I gotta one up him. I gotta do better. The man's dead and he's already destroyed me. Like, because Martin kind of does the same thing. He tries to deviate and follow
Yeah.
different character plots, and he creates new people, and that, even from across the ocean, they're having an impact on things going on elsewhere. And then you have people up in the north impacting things going on in the south, impacting things going on across the water. And then, you know, they don't really talk about it in the TV show, but in the books, you got people across the sand impacting. There's so much going on, so many different storylines that I think he got lost. Is where Jordan was a lot more intelligent individual and had it all figured out.
Yeah, it's hard to live up to.
Yep.
And Jordan's done a good job of losing us
And
along the way. He's like, I'm just going to drop you off here and make you think this. And then three books later, I'm going to mess with your mind over here with this. And then, you know, I'm going to make you have to go back four books because you forgot what I said, but it's very important. Now, it's like a maze. I feel like I'm in a labyrinth.
Yeah. Well, it gets only worse. Even the last book, there's things that point back to the very that was mentioned in the very first book. So,
Sentence one. Dang
yeah.
it.
Ileana. Anyway, so, going back to the story, so Loyal considers himself lucky to be around Taviren because he's thinking about writing a book. He has taken all his notes and he's thinking about writing a book about his about Taviren and about his travels. Which is, I think, sweet.
Yeah, I now know why you claimed him as one of your favorite characters early on. And the more we learn about him, the more we hear about it, I'm like, I could see Alan doing that. I could totally.
Yeah. So, Loyal is one of my favorite characters. But so, yeah. And then at this point, Perrin sees Rand come out of Moraine's tent or hut or whatever.
Wait, I'm sorry. Normally, Chris is more polite. He'll let you finish and then he'll back up. But we're skipping over a fairly important line. And Min is very clearly trying to jump Perrin's bones, and she's dropping all sorts of innuendo here. And
Read it for
Chris,
us.
am I the only one who picked up on this? So she's, gosh, I wrote down part of the sentence, and now I'm trying to find it exactly. You know what? Fuck it. The quote that I pulled out was the best part. She's talking about how, like, she just keeps getting sucked into all of this. And I quoted her as saying, grabbed by the scruff of my neck and jerked off to the light knows where. Let me tell you something. And I could just picture her saying that and, like, licking her lips and giving a little winky face at Perrin. She's into that rough stuff, and she sees this big, burly wolf man, and yeah. So my impression of Min has changed a little bit here. She's trying to get hers.
Sure.
Put that on a shirt. Grabbed by the scruff of my neck and jerked off to the light knows where. We might have to get a tender. We're going to sell that
So Perrin sees Rand come out of
one.
Moraine's hut. All the Shannaran stand up and like salute him, or they're all definitely
Good
being,
souls.
it just almost worshiping Rand, to the point where Rand's kind of sick of all of it and wants nothing to do with them. So like kind of says nothing, just leaves. He's like, yeah, whatever, guys. Do what you're doing. I'm going away. And it talks about that later in the chapter about how Rand's just kind of moved away from the camp because he hates all the groveling. He doesn't want to be around any of these people. But he's been obviously arguing with Moraine, and Perrin goes to follow
Yeah,
Rand.
because he started to recite
So what?
softly, twice and twice shall he be marked, twice to live and twice to die, once the heron to set his path, twice the heron to name him true, once the dragon for remembrance lost, twice the dragon for the price he must pay. But no dragon yet, not yet.
Right.
So what haven't we seen come to
Yeah.
light with this? He
He
does.
has the two heron marks now. He has the two heron marks, but he doesn't have any dragons or whatever those are.
Wonder if he gets any real dragons. That would be cool. I know he doesn't, but still.
So, he's mumbling to himself, like obviously in his little secluded valley that he has. He's muttering prophecies, and Perrin's just sitting there, and then finally he acknowledges Per, and Rand does, and they start talking about Matt, you know, wondering if Matt's all right, and like, well, he must be in Tar Valon by now, hopefully healed.
This is where the narrator would come in and be like, only he wasn't in Tar Valon, and he would not be healed. Like, and, you know, fast
there
forward.
There you go. He gave you a book. He said book four.
There you go. Book four. All right.
Well, I mean, we have that moment where Perrin is just observing, because we know Perrin's the deep thinker, and he's got a lot of pity for Rand. He's like, here's the man that, you know, is doomed to go mad from the taint or from Sidene. Is it to make the male half of the true source, and certainly to destroy everything around in his madness. A man, a thing. Everyone was taught to loathe and fear from childhood. So, and then he goes, but only all he can see is his, you know, boyhood friend. I think I grew up with.
Yeah. And he says, you can't just stop being a friend, can you? Like,
when from Perrin's perspective, remember, he's still struggling with what he's transitioning to, but then he compares it to what Rand's going through. And I think that really helps him be able to empathize and love Rand through this, because he doesn't want to share his secrets with anybody, and he's terrified of what people might think. And it's really just, I won't say it's not that big of a deal, but compared to like what you were saying, generations have been taught to fear someone like Rand. Like, Perrin is an unknown. Rand is a known danger to like everybody. Right. So I think he definitely empathizes.
Yeah. And then Perrin asked Rand, he says, do you ever wish, that you were, I wish I was still a blacksmith sometimes. Do you ever have those wishing you're still as a shepherd? And Rand starts going the whole entire thing about duty. And, you know, no one else can do it at this point. He's come to acceptance. He's like, I don't think about those things anymore. I'm duty bound at this point. You know, being all kind of emo-y, you know, kind of down on himself. Says there's people out there dying for him. And now he's sitting up here in the mountains doing nothing. You know, why aren't they doing anything? You know, Moraine keeps us up here and says that, you know, I'll know when I know. What is that supposed to mean? He can tell. He's like, she's right, but I'm super frustrated. You could feel Rand's frustration. He's like, I want to do something, but I don't know what.
I mean, isn't that like the story of the last two books? Choices, decisions. Yeah. All you did was just kind of follow along and do blindly what you had to do. And you were pushed by time.
Right. But I think now Rand's a little bit more starting to at least be more aware of his responsibility. Whereas before, he's denying it. All up through the last book, he just denied he had any importance.
Yeah.
Now he knows.
Yes.
He's come to terms with himself.
And so now he wants to jump in first. So still shows his immaturity, but that's to be expected.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, so we know how manipulative Moraine can be, and maybe this is all part of the process. And she knows that he's at a point where, all right, she can't push him and pull him and direct him anymore. He's at the point now where if this is going to happen, if this is it, if he's the one, and this is the right turn of the wheel and it's the right timing and everything, he has to do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're seeing this struggle now with Rand and his competing thoughts of wanting to rush out there and save the world versus, no, let me make the smart move. You know, maybe secretly Moraine is wanting him to just bust out and say, you know what? F you, you're cool. To Loyal, of course. F you, I'm out of here. And just go channel some people. But she can't make him do it. Like, we're at that tipping point where he's got to do it.
And then he starts going his whole entire thing about the power, and the ground starts to tremble, where he starts talking about it's always there and he feels it out there. And sometimes he can't, you know, and he wants to, but he doesn't want to, but it calls to him, but he can feel the taint at all times. And it's the oil blackness and the disgustingness of it, and you get all these descriptions of Rance being pulled, where you know it feels so good when he does uses it, but he knows he can't, you know. And as it's happening, there's an earthquake that starts happening.
My mind went to the gutter. You did.
It might be my fault. I'm kind of directed us there.
Yeah, right, coming and going, ebb and flowing, up and down,
yeah, my
and
bad.
Left and right, and oh my goodness, and everything trembles. And I've seen that happen before. He split the world.
It's done. There's an earthquake, right?
This would be the episode Chanel actually listens to. She's listened to quite a few, but I'm going to get a phone call later.
There you go.
Is it? This is the one y'all are going to have to talk about afterwards.
And, you know, parents were yelling, "Ran to stop."
Well, and so this gave me a flashback to when Matt was getting paranoid about Rand even sleeping in the same room as him and talking about how, I remember when stories about so-and-so, and they went to sleep and they woke up and like everybody's face was melted, or I don't know exactly what happened, but so Matt wasn't wrong to fear that. Like, that's, you know, we're about to find out there's victims from Rand just having these uncontrollable urges to channel and shit happening around him. So yeah, a little freaky.
And when it said as abrupt as it began, it was done.
That's about right too. Yeah.
Rand was staring at nothing
now. And then they had pancakes.
As if he had run 10 miles.
Editing is going to be fun.
At least we're taking good pauses.
That's what she said. Wouldn't it have been great, like, after that line about it being over just as quick as it had began, like there was a pause and Rand just looked up and said, Karen, I'm
it's always there calling to me, pushing at me. The male half of the true source. Sometimes I can't stop myself from reaching out to it. He made a motion of plucking something out of the air and transferring his stare to his closed fist. I can feel the taint even before I touch it. The dark one's taint, like a thin coat of veiling, trying to hide the light. It comes, it turns my stomach, but I cannot help myself. I cannot. Sometimes I reach out, and it's like trying to catch air. His worry is that when he gets to the last battle, what if he can't catch it? What if he can't use it? This involuntary use of the power scares him more than his inability to actually use it, because he fears he's going to be useless in the end. Which, I mean, we all have a little bit of performance anxieties here and there, but, you know, this could literally mean the end of the world. There's a lot of pressure to be on one person. So I kind of feel bad for Rand in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the battle. That's the conflict right there. He's expected, through all these prophecy and these people whispering in his ear, he's expected to do such amazing things, great things, because of what he can do, because of this power, this ability. But even now, he knows he has zero ability to control it. He's not in control. It's not him. So how do you trust that? How do you know what to do and when to do it?
It's just natural. Yep. Sometimes, you know, it just comes to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after it's all done, parents suggest that Rand calms down. Let's go get something to eat.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Did he actually say that?
Just let's go get supper.
All right. Now it's not my fault or Chris's fault. This is Jordan's fault. There's a lot of innuendo in here. men's trying to get choked out and like jump Aaron Jones and Rand just has a oh face moment and the whole world
falls apart. Why you have so many summer babies?
Yeah, they're out there bored and whatnot. I'd be like, well, ain't shit else to do. Let's make some mountains quake, baby.
Yep. And we end the chapter with Rand asking Perrin about dreams. Perrin doesn't really answer it and just kind of walks away and goes back to camp. And that's the end of the chapter.
Yay.
That was a fun one.
Chris and I are actually laughing, and Alan's like, yeah. It was. You guys did such a good job. If I offended you, I hope it was on purpose. I'd hate to have done it by accident. That would be a waste. That's.
Anyways, anything we missed with this chapter?
We have.
Oh, God, don't ask that. We,
no, it was okay. The best.
It got everywhere. Just nothing was missed. It was all over all right, the place.
We're good. We're good. All right. All right, moving to chapter 3, news from the plane. And the icon is the Wheel of Time symbol. So we're going to get some news, I guess, kind of, sort of.
But where's it going to come from, though?
Then Tinkers, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I mean, through the Tinker.
From the plane, maybe? I don't know. That's a stretch.
Yeah.
That's a stretch. Yeah. I didn't read too much into this one. I just kind of figured this was one of those straightforward shots.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yep.
I have a question. So why are all these women coming to Moraine?
That's probably the biggest question of these chapters so far. So I'm glad you brought it up. I have no answer. But I thought the same.
Like, does Moraine have a network of spies?
Remember, Moraine's been planning for a while. She was young when her and the Amerlin and whoever else, there wasn't many in the room, caught wind of that vision, and they've been plotting for a long time. And Moraine, she's been traveling around quite a bit. We knew she traveled. She did a lot of solo work just to go get Rand and the Edmunds Fielders. Like, if maybe she's been operating like this for a while and just making connections. I mean, even as they've traveled, they go to places and she's got an in everywhere they go. Not an in like INN, an IN.
Yeah.
So like,
pimping out her abilities to heal or something. Like, how is she? Why are these people so dedicated to her? More or less my question.
Yeah, okay.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Well, is she pimping out her power to gain favor?
Sure.
Yeah.
So it starts with Perrin coming back into the camp and Moraine standing there looking up towards the crack in the wall or whatever. Cause she's pissed. And Perrin's immediately is like, it was an accident. Just chill out. Rand didn't mean to do it. And Moraine's, is upset, like storms back into her hut, slams the door. And Perrin looks around this point and sees all the damage Rand has done. And like, it wasn't that bad where Rand was, but back at the camp, it's kind of jacked up.
I mean, after finding out about this, I'm curious how that's going to screw up Rand. There's nothing you could tell him that's going to console him to be like, oh, no big deal. You're fine. It just, it kind of happened. Rand's not the type of person that is okay with hurting an innocent person.
Right.
So
I think it's funny that he felt inclined to give her an answer without even being prompted with a question. Like he knows that she knows more about him than he does. He's afraid to inquire. He's afraid to really question an Aes Sedai still, even though he's coming into power himself and he's a pretty good sized guy with a lot of strength and energy and ferocity when he needs it. But he's afraid to face the Aes Sedai, and then he just flat out just like whimpers like a little puppy. Like, he didn't mean to do it. No.
Yeah. So, Perrin goes back to talk to Min. Min's trying to cook what's left in this left do because most of it spilled over during the earthquake. And Perrin asks if anyone was hurt. Min says, "No, just a couple scrapes and bruises. Everyone seems to be fine. No one's really seriously hurt." But Perrin's wondering maybe if that's what Min saw with Leia, or Leia. Because maybe she got hurt, so maybe that's what Min's vision was. And at this point, Perrin suggests Min just go and leave. And Min says, "Nope, I can't," and goes into this whole story about, arranged marriages and fate, and yeah.
Yeah, I like that interaction between Min and Perrin because we get a little bit more about Min. Like she's like, "I hate cooking, and if something goes wrong with it, it's not my fault." So like, she right away was casting shade on Rand, and she's just like, "What right does it give him to bounce us around like sacks of grain?" Then she rubbed her seat, the seat of her britches, and winced. I thought that was hilarious. So, like, everybody got a little hurt by a little happening here, but we see Min's, slightly unsettled by, what she's having to do in the camp, but she's still doing it, which good on her. Said, "Maybe, Min, maybe you better go first thing in the morning. I have some silver." Like, we do have Perrin trying to be kind to Min and trying to give her an out. Trying to like get her away from everything going on, and she's just like, "Oh, you're such a sweet guy, but you don't know like what I know. That is that I'll never be able to leave. Like, we're wrapped up in this together."
Yep.
And she's secretly
And
in
she
love with
turns to
Rand, which he doesn't know that yet, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and she tries to turn the tables back on Perrin too, telling Perrin, do you want to go home? And Perrin says he can't either.
I don't know, maybe I am reading into it too much because, like, even now I can't point to specific lines, but there's this back and forth between them, and I'm also taking into context like this doesn't just happen in the minutes that we're reading. This has been going on for days, weeks, whatever, and the conversations between Min and Perrin have probably been ongoing. I get the feeling that they're feeling each other out. Like, I don't know. I'm not at the point of laying down prediction, but like, I just feel something building here. Like, there might be a brown chicken, brown cow at some point. And I don't know.
All right. Sure. So, yeah, and then at this point, Perrin, because he has crazy good eyesight, sees Moraine and Land coming towards him. Land breaks off the soldiers, but Moraine comes to join them. And he also sees Rand in the distance, storming back to his hut. So Min immediately asks Moraine about Leia, and her scalp was split during the earthquake, but Moraine healed her. So and Min's not sure if that was the vision. She's like, I could have sworn she was going to die. Like, this doesn't make sense. And Moraine's like, well, maybe she's going to die. And Moraine kind of, she just wheels, she will weaves Perrin about it. Because Perrin's like, well, maybe Min's wrong. Like, Moraine's like, eh, whatever. If she's going to die, she's going to die. The wheel weaves.
Rough.
Yeah, completely nonchalant. Like, well, if Min saw it, she's going to die.
And then, of course, Min's having her internal struggle because the possibility of being wrong, like she's never wrong. When she knows, she knows. So, and then Perrin, like, "Oh, you've never been wrong in any reading for me. Not one about which I have any knowledge or any knowing." So he tries to console her on something that honestly is quite horrible. So I'm like, inclined to agree with Ian here that, there might be a little something potentially happening here, but at the end of the day, Perrin's just too nice. He's gonna have to grow a pair eventually.
So what do you think about men's view? Do you think this is it? Do you think that men was wrong, or do you think men was right? Do you guys have feelings?
She's right. I think that something more is going to happen down the line. And, you know, this is just Jordan's way of kind of throwing us off for a minute.
Okay.
I kind of took the cheap route. I didn't pick either side and just drew the hard line. We're built up by Perrin early on to, you know, start to believe like, well, if Min says it, it's true. If Min says it, it's true. And even Moraine is like, well, you've never been wrong before. But maybe either what she sees isn't the truth or isn't the future that has to happen. I mean, maybe, gosh, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, I think you're saying the right thing. We don't necessarily know what her power actually is. She has the idea that it's foreseeing the future or events, and it is, but she doesn't know how to properly read or say what everything means.
Sure.
Like hers is based on intensity, but like when she's around Tavir and everything's intense. So like we know that the intensity of her power shifts based on the person she's even looking at. So how accurate is she really? She's just a litmus test for death.
Yeah. So let's say we move on in 6 months and this chick still hasn't died. I mean, at some point, Min is going to have to self-actualize here and think about, all right, like, what am I actually able to do? What am I actually seeing? It might maybe not like her make her less confident, but it might make her put more thought into what it is that she's seen. So in a way, maybe it helps her in the long run be able to understand her powers better if in fact she's not dead. But also, maybe she's dead or going to die very soon. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. And then Lan comes and joins the conversation. He joins to talk about news on the plane. So this is where we get the news. So there's fighting everywhere. There's people that sworn allegiance to the dragon. They're fighting. The different nations are fighting. The Hunters of the Horn have showed up. And then there's white cloaks amassing, which is really concerning to them. But there's that 5,000 white cloaks that are on the plane now. And the weirdest thing about them is they're not moving against the people that are claiming for the dragon. Although they're saying they're trying to, they're out there looking for the false dragon, but they're purposefully not attacking any of these groups. Like they're letting him get away, like doing these fake attacks, and Lan can see right through it and doesn't understand what their motive is and what's going on there. Don't know if you guys had thoughts about that, what the white cloaks are up to. I mean, of course we got from the prologue what Carradine's orders were from both the Shadow and from the Lord Captain Commander. One was to kill Rand, the other one was to not kill Rand. So,
well, I was hoping Chris would give us something good before I went here. Again, I'm just getting hair on the back of my neck, like inklings, nothing definitive. But as much as up until this point, I've claimed that Lan is the man, now I'm putting quotes around the man part. These couple of descriptions of, you know, Perrin seeing him slip away and just kind of disappear, you know, he gives credit to Lan's cloak. But we also know that Perrin has this awesome vision and still Lan's able to slip away like that. And then I'm jumping forward a little bit, but I have to make this point. Moraine talks about how people matching Rand's description, you know, are being murdered and in very surprising way where somebody like people shouldn't have been able to get in there without being noticed or seen or whatever. And they just slip in and kill him. And then I go all the way back to Lan coming down the stairs and Rand there. And it's the first time we run into a fade. And as they're leaving, I wish I could flip back to it now. I don't have the book in front of me, but Lan makes some comment and we talked about it, about how like there's no time to chase him into the shadow or something like that. And Chris and I were talking about, well, does that mean Lan has the ability to travel into the shadows with these fades? Like, So again, I'm not making any hardline suspicious comments or predictions or anything, but I had a oh shit moment as I'm grazing over this. Like, I don't know. And is Lan doing bad things, or is he just taking advantage of powers that bad people have, or is Moraine using him to do the bad shit that I thought Moraine would do, but she can't because she's Aes Sedai, so she's using Lan? I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. I went down a rabbit hole in two quick paragraphs. Like,
so that was the next thing I was going to bring out, is that there's three men that look kind of like Rand that have been killed. No one knows who the killer was. And Uno mentioned something about something called the Solus. And I had question marks around that. And Moraine immediately cuts him off, says, we're not talking about that. He's like, yeah, we've never seen them down from the Blight before.
What are the Solus? Are those...
Yeah, exactly. What are they? I don't know.
Yeah, that's my question to you guys.
is that another term for the Fades?
No, because someone, was it Perrin or whatever, that brings it up and nobody corrects them, or yeah, I don't know. This is just another stepping point in making the bad guys badder. You know, up until this point, we've, you know, Trollocs are bad, and then Fades are worse, and then the Dreadlords and blah, 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 they're all so bad. And we finally think we have all the bad guys figured out. And then, bam, Solus. And they're worse mm-hmm. than everybody. And as the reader, you're like, well, shit, how can this could be worse? So, yeah.
Just you wait. Just you wait. Yeah, I know, right? So put a little note there, try to figure out the Solus. Maybe it's something to think about. Yeah. And you know, Moraine asks about the scouts if they've seen anything around there. Uno says no, the scouts have seen nothing. They're as good as any warder. There's been nothing around the camp. But Moraine's obviously super nervous about the fact that Rand drew that much power to do this whole earthquake thing.
Yeah, it's a beacon.
Yeah, it's a beacon to Fades, and Moraine's worried. She says something doesn't feel right in the air right now. And Perrin says, it feels like something's waiting. And she's like, exactly. That's right. And Perrin's like, crap, I didn't mean to say that loud. She asks them to put extra guards on, you know, not that the Shannarans are less on guard at all times anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, she's not able to. But she did say they'll be protected against the Solus. So at the end of the day, you know, they're hidden from physical eyes unless people walk into the camp and the Solus can't get to them. Mm-hmm.
Right. And she talks about awards, all this other stuff.
But see, even that, so since my mind was already going down that rabbit hole, and when somebody asks about can we ward a certain way and blah, 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 as she's given her answer, Jordan, God, I didn't highlight this part, but she looked at Lan as she was answering. There was some sort of connection to Lan. So then I was like, oh, there's some inside secret. Like, if she were to do that, it would also hurt Lan. I don't know. I know I'm reaching here, but there was a nudge and a wink.
So Lan's a dark friend. All right.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think it goes back to when I was talking about how Moraine's willing to do whatever.
Okay.
To see this shit through. So did she find a way to infiltrate the Dark Friend's social and send Lan, but somehow protect him in such a way that she could still control him and compel him, but now she gets intel off him or gets...
Maybe she's focusing on the continuation of the building of Rand's army, and the easiest way to do that is to get just that, an army. And what's the quickest way of getting an army but to call upon your banners? And who's the best person to potentially call on some banners?
Well, yeah. True, true. Yeah.
Yep.
There goes Lord of Rings all over again.
Exactly. If you would stand up, take your throne, everyone will follow you.
Yep.
Where have we heard that before? Yeah.
And then you could just give your army to the dragon.
Yeah. So something's in the air, something's up. And yeah, at this point, Perrin goes to sleep because he's on third watch. So, and if you've ever done third watch before, It sucks. So yeah, sleep's
I don't
really
want you
good
to have
before you start that
dreams.
crap. And then he dreams.
It only works if you're the type of person that's like, okay, I need to sleep now, and you lay down and immediately go to sleep, because then you could get yourself ready for it. Third watch
Sorry.
for someone like me that has to lay down and think for 2 hours before I go to sleep. Yeah, you're fucked. It's gonna suck.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so he goes to sleep in dreams, and then we end the chapter. So it's a short chapter.
Well, I don't have anything else to say. That's it.
Yeah.
End of
Okay.
chapter.
End of chapter. So any final thoughts about this? I mean, it's a short chapter. You get introduced to something called the Solus, which could be a fade, just could be another name for it. Everything tension's really high right now. Everyone's really super worried. Do you guys have predictions about what's going to happen next?
And shift to Matt. That's what I would do.
Yeah, here's a quick bust to my theory.
Yeah. Okay.
I have that feeling that it's
No
sort of
idea.
shift, like turn the page and see what the first word is on the next page.
Great.
Yeah.
Just see what
Well,
characters we're talking about. What perspective do we have? Like, that would be nice to know right now.
like, what's dreams?
yeah, well,
Which
we can do that when
dreams
I
are Perrin in? Is he in a Beelzebub dream? Is he in a wolf dream? Like,
He's in a mid-dream getting grabbed by the scruff of his neck and jerked off light knows where.
all right. So, favorite characters from these chapters?
Do we have to have one?
You don't have to. No, you can say I didn't like anybody in these chapters. I
I
think he
was
has
gonna
like men in
say
this
men,
chapter a lot,
actually.
but
If I pick a character, it would
yeah.
definitely have to be men, just because you kind of feel bad for a little bit. That's where my mind goes. Nobody else really, like, yeah, Rand finally let loose and let off some steam and blew his top, but that wasn't all that special.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I was about 50-50 between Min and Perrin. Since you went Min, I'll go Perrin. And it's because of, what I talked about earlier on, him filling that leadership void. That's not an easy thing to do, because in your mind, it's temporary. You're not truly the leader, but you recognize that one needs to be there. Or even if you don't recognize it, the other people there recognize like you're the next best choice, and it's kind of slowly being thrust on them, because the other people that should be telling them things just aren't talking to them. So that's an interesting spot that he's in, and I think he's doing a good job with it, and still trying to break away to take care of his friend Rand and show concern for everybody, protect the camp, talk to Min, offer her all of her outs. I just he was doing a lot in these chapters.
Okay, so the next chapters, and I will tell you that all three next chapters are all the same point of view, and it's all still from Perrin. We're still in Perrin's head the next three chapters. So
Ooh,
that gives you.
the
Yep.
block no
And
more.
yeah, and the chapter titles are number chapter four, Shadows Sleeping. Chapters five is Nightmares Walking. And chapter six is The Hunt Begins.
Oh, the
Wait, so we're going back a book?
hunt
What's that?
Saying that we thought the hunt was over. Are we going back a book?
Yeah. Well, it's not the great hunt. We're just gonna do a little hunt. Just a
What are
little
we gonna hunt
mini
for?
hunt.
What do you want to hunt
Little
for?
hunty hunt. But if it's the horn again, like if the horn gets stolen again and they're hunting for it again, like that's lame. Can't be
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, geez, I don't know. I got nothing.
What was our other wolf
Okay.
brother? Elias. Maybe Elias is
Elias.
in trouble.
Elias.
Maybe the hunt's on to save Elias. He wouldn't use the word hunt, though. It's not a good word. Maybe
Yeah.
in his dreaming, our traveler woman left and then gets killed, and so then he's hunting her killer.
Oh,
Well,
maybe
yes.
Matt disappears from the caravan back to Tar Valon, and we start trying to follow his trail.
Any thoughts about shadows sleeping or nightmares walking?
Shadow sleeping. I
I
think
really
that's
got.
going to be focused on our locked up ones. Which four word are we using? I
Okay.
always mess that up. Forsaken in this book,
Forsaken.
yeah. So maybe we're going to be focusing on our Forsaken.
Okay.
And what was the last title?
Nightmares Walking was the in between. That's
When I
that's
read
chapter five.
that title, my mind went to like the people traveling through the from one world to the next. They're already considered like fake in the world. And even for a lot of people, they still don't believe in Trolloc and stuff like that. So maybe we're gonna see a big move or a big push by the Dark Force.
Okay. So the chapter symbols for the chapters too. I'll go ahead and give you those just to start conversation. So Shadow Sleeping, it's a wolf symbol. Nightmares Walking is the Trolloc symbol.
Which is kind of what I thought.
And the hut begins the Wheel of Time symbol.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So I think we're kind of right on target. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I think you had good guesses because I'm drawing blanks.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else from these chapters before I wrap it
No.
up?
No.
Yep. So three chapter week next week. So yep, the three
Yes.
back on the three train. So how you can be found? We can be found at The Wheel Reads on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all those great places. Thewheelreads.com is our website. That's where you can find links to our Discord and our merchandise website, so you can buy all the cool merch. We got a lot of it now, so people are ordering it, so it's been pretty cool. Got a couple confirmations of different orders going through. So those are all being shipped out right now as we speak. And yeah, Discord. Come join our Discord. It's a great place where you can listen to us live if you're a patron. Normally, that's the only way to listen to us live. Occasionally, we do these to everyone. We do open it to everyone occasionally, but most of the time, it is for patrons only. Last week, we were supposed to do it for everyone. It messed up, so we actually ended up doing it on Zoom. So we did it again this week. Next week, we'll get back to patron only. And yeah, at the wheel or the wheel reads at gmail.com. That's our email address. I guess in case you guys want to email me. Be happy to field any questions there, but you can message me on Discord or on Twitter or Facebook or really anywhere. So you don't necessarily have to use the email. It's just there because I need an email for all these things. And yeah, so buy merch. Think about Patreon. It's a great way to support us. Helps, like I said at the beginning of the episode, it helps us get new equipment. We're in the process of buying some new equipment, so. And doing more giveaways. We're going to definitely be doing a giveaway, probably not this month, but next month definitely. We'll end up doing one. Probably give away another book, just because we haven't given away The Dragon Reborn yet. So another hardcover copy. We'll do it soon. And that's all I got for this week. Anything else for you guys?
Until
Peace.
next time.
Thank you for listening to The Wheel Reads. See y'all next time.